Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our metaphysics, in our politics, and in our relationships. I am Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana, where the sun is setting and it's beautiful. The daylight is getting longer so that we can actually see the sun at this time of night. I'm normally joined by Mark Woltz and Ann Ortley from New York City, and they may join us at any moment. The advantage of working with the three of us is that we manage spontaneously to work together, and some nights, as we do this regularly, we can't make it here for one reason or the other. But someone is always here to be there with you, and we love it when all three of us here are conversing. So the sun is just setting in Aries. Mercury is retrograde in Aries. Venus and Uranus are conjunct exactly in Aries today, both at 27 degrees of Aries. And Mars is slowly approaching Saturn, or quickly approaching Saturn, in an exact conjunction in Capricorn. Moon is in Virgo tonight. Now, we've been talking about this Mars-Saturn conjunction in Capricorn for a while, because it echoes, almost the same degree, the Mars-Saturn conjunction that is exact in the NRA's chart. And it talks about needing to combine Mars, our passion, our anger, our boundaries, our vitality, with our Saturn, our sense of responsibility and work. Whenever you've got two planets that are working together, you have you can imagine taking one long list of comments from, you know, what you associate with Mars: temper, sex, energy, enthusiasm, athleticism, masculinity, all the long list of things that you might put vitality, immune system on one side, and then all the things you could put under Saturn: responsibility, authority, age, tradition, strength, feeling stuck, things that grew over time, manipulation, control, all the negative things. There's a whole range of pieces. And you could combine those two in any way, shape, or form, and you're going to get this strong, what we're talking about today. So sometimes Saturn can be controlling and put stomp on the enthusiasm of Mars. But it can also add responsibility and focus to Mars. Mars can interrupt the stability of Saturn. It can feel both like a culture clash or a clash between generations, and a exciting combination of the two, because when you get those two working together, it's like the father and son within, or our juicy energy and our wisdom that we've gained over time. When those two work together, we can be passionately disciplined. We have the gift of that Mars-Saturn conjunction. It happens once every couple of years. And it's happening now in Capricorn, which is the home sign for Saturn, because Saturn rules Capricorn, and the sign of exaltation for Mars, which means that Mars is very strong there. So the whole March for Our Lives movement and some of the counter thrust has been exemplifying this Mars-Saturn conjunction. But what is it doing in your life? There you have youth challenging the old guard, saying, "You failed us. We have to create our own safety." We have layers going into this about how do we add new restrictions and controls and regulations, which are very Saturn, to Mars, to guns, to that raw Mars energy. The word martial comes from Mars. So is there a place in your life where you are wondering, how do you put your discipline to support your life passion? How do you re-add enthusiasm to your work? How do you get your younger self and your older self to work together? Grow strength, but stay flexible. These are all strong questions. We're talking to them about it tonight because during our show tonight, the moon in Virgo is forming an exact trine to Mars and moving into a trine with Saturn. So it's really giving us voice. We have all this dynamic forward energy with Mars and Saturn, but Mercury in Aries is retrograde, is turned inwards, is imploding in its own way. So there's a lot of spinning of wheels, but it's also a chance to go back, because Mercury retrograde, remember, Mercury retrograde, you always go back to anything that begins RE, review, revisit, revive, remember, reconnect. So if you can go back and put in some sweat equity on a process that you have loved and been fascinated by, or an idea that you put on hold, or finally finishing up a project that you began a long time ago. We began a house renovation in December, well, actually in November we began it. It kicked in December. Mercury was retrograde when the first workmen came in and we finished our first, the demo that we were going to do when we had brought people in to help us with some of the structural rebuilding. And under this Mercury retrograde, I think it will finally be done. It's a time to come back to finish and visit. But we do see that spinning in wheels. I'm going to ask you to be a little extra careful with movement, with what you say, with what you do, with what happens when you get angry, because it can be, this can be very helpful unless we rush something, in which case all the Mercury retrograde slapstick does return. And look out for technical snafus, which are just so easy to have, because this Mercury is backing up into a square with Saturn and Mars, and so we'll continue with some of those difficulties. Now, at the moment, also, we have a Mercury, you know, the Venus-Uranus conjunction in Aries. And I just want to say one point with the Sun in Aries tonight. I know it's Mark Waltz's birthday today, so I don't really expect him to be here tonight, but we hope that all will be well. So, on this process today, we have I just was double checking something here. We have a couple of questions that have been already sent in, and I'd like to address them. One was one with a process that was brought up today on a Facebook question, conversation amongst astrologers, was planets in the 12th house. And planets in the 12th house were the planets that have just come up over the eastern horizon. Now, I have four planets there, and I can say that usually when the planets are in the 12th house, the first part of your life can feel like you're cleaning up karmic boomerangs from other lifetimes, not just necessarily from one. So don't be judgmental upon yourself or anybody else who is dealing with a lot of 12th house planets. They may have been brave enough to say, could I clean up 2,000 years in one short lifetime? So we want to leave that spacious as possible. The person in question who sent in a request has an Aries moon like me. The rest of our charts are very different. And she has Uranus, North Node, Mars, and Pluto in the 12th house. Now, often planets in the 12th house, we have to own them. In the big statistical surveys that Michel Gauguin did to originally try to disprove astrology, but then began to prove it, he noticed that many athletes had Mars close to the ascendant. Mars had just risen when they were born. And the planet in the 12th house, that's where sun is, right after sunrise. And the sun, those first few hours after sunrise are so private. They're so personal. It's not a time we want to go deal with the public. It's what's going on inside ourselves. It's really good sleeping time for me. It can also be great meditation time. It's not a terribly public time. So we have this deep inner brooding that goes on as part of that process. But we have with this Uranus, Mars and Pluto, three of them more unexpected and abrupt planets in the 12th house, can often make it feel like our inner world can feel a little dangerous to us growing up, and the real world can feel a little dangerous to us going out there. Any planet in the 12th house, we really have to own and take the place, take the energy of, because if we don't take it, it gets reflected back to us in a somewhat difficult way. Now, the Mars-Pluto in the 12th house, I know I cannot walk down dark alleys. As I run away as a teenager, I had to jump out of a car at gunpoint, dealt with some other dangerous things along the way. But it has created, and I have immune system issues, which is often a 12th house problem also, because the 12th house has to deal with our long-term health as well as our psyche, because they're so deeply related. But this also implies a power, an energy, an ability to create when you own the power, when you're in a position to deal with your empowerment. It's a beautiful combination. But it can ask you to really own it. And you may have to bench press your boundaries with that Mars-Pluto conjunction in the 12th and practice healthy use of your own power in order to make this work. So whatever you have in the 12th house can often be what is not, you know, many people who have Saturn there had a slow or difficult birth, but they also may have found, because Saturn has just come up at, because this also describes a moment in time, your birth, but it also can be a way of shifting the energy where, so your father might not have been able, because Saturn is often related to the father, not have shown you how to manifest your strength in the world. That doesn't mean you can't. It just means that you have to find your own way to it. Now, with Uranus, Mars, and Pluto in the 12th house, luckily, the North Node is there, too, to give it support and strength. This person probably was not encouraged to show how unusual they are, to say no and set boundaries, and to show their own strength earlier on in their lifetime. But what we're not encouraged to grow, it's often how we learn how to do it well, because we had to really think it through carefully, because we weren't shown how to as a child. So this person may have to practice setting healthy boundaries with firm and clear edges in no uncertain terms, and have to expose if somebody is being squirrely and behind the scenes in their life. They need to just kind of put it out there, like putting hydrogen peroxide on an infection. So not let anybody power trip them with strange energy behind the scenes, because it only works that way if we keep it in the 12th. But this is an important point. The 12th house can be what other people project on you. They say, well, you're not doing it, so it's your fault. Or this is, what I think of as New Age fascism. The tendency to blame the victim, to say, the other side of you are responsible for your life. You choose what you bring in. You can do something about it. You are in the power seat is the good use of this. The negative aspect is, well, it must be all your fault. You must have cancer because you didn't know what to do with yourself. You must have drawn that strange attacker. And that's putting the energy in the wrong place. Why were they drawn to you rather than why did you draw them? That's their issue. But you can, taking on the blame for planets in your 12th house, you can take on the responsibility to use them in a good way, which starts to shift their energy field. when it's your Mars, your Pluto, your Uranus, there's less room for the perpetrators, for the difficult, for the power trippers. But you have to kind of put it out front. Often with that lineup, people they're not comfortable showing their energy or their enthusiasm or their power or their ability because it was a little scary doing so when they were younger, and they may have some past life memories around those issues. But if you're at the back of the room pretending that you're not very powerful, but everybody else can feel it, they will tend to start to pick on you. If you move into leadership and think, what is the good use of my Mars, my Pluto, my ability to set boundaries, to be leaders, to speak up, to find what's fair and move forward, to hold people to the fire, to use their power rightly and not misuse it, and do it with compassion but firmness, as you would want to have it done unto you, then you can, often it means like taking the leadership like Mandela did, someone from the oppressed party, to step out of that oppression, perpetrator, victim mindset and be able to begin the miracle of creating a South America that stepped out of apartheid without terrible bloodshed. That took real leadership. So each of us has a place in our life where we may be challenged to step into our Mandelahood, to not let people get away with crap, but to lead ourselves and possibly others out of that paradigm and into one that works for us. And that's tricky. So never sit in judgment with somebody on the story around their planets in their 12th house. It's a journey. And it's a journey, and you are only going to see a tip of that iceberg. But for anybody who has planets in the 12th house, or anybody who knows what planet rules their 12th house and where that is in their chart, we get a tour of how not to use it, reflected by the people around us. And we're called to find a way to use it in a good way. So good luck to this person. They also have their moon at 21 degrees of Aries. So Pluto is squaring their moon on and off now through 2019. And if you can just keep it clean and move forward and protect yourself and treat yourself the way you would like to be treated in this process, you can hit the reset button for the rest of your life on your Pluto issues. And I think that you're able to step forward in that in a good way. One of the other pieces that I noticed on this chart, which is, if you're playing along at home, July 5th, 1961 at 11:13 a.m. in Ojai, California, is their progressed sun is conjuncting Pluto. It's almost exact now. It will be for the next 3 months. And that'll never happen again. And Pluto is squaring their moon at the same time. So it really is Plutonian. And you have to kind of dig in. It's a time to get the shrapnel out and to find a good way to use your power. So it will be, hang in there, do the good things, deal with people who are misusing it around you, step away from them, step into the light, be honest and clear with everybody about what's going on, and make different choices. Good luck on that. It's not your fault. But you can give it purpose and do some deep soul healing in this process. Take care. So I'm going to go on to the next one. I see one caller has raised their hands. If you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8888. 1-800-273-8181. And if you want to raise your hand, you hit 1, and I will call on you. I'm going to move pretty quickly because I've got two callers here. Hello, area code 202, you're on the line. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm Nicole. My birthday is January 5th.
January 5th? Mm-hmm.
1981.
Mm-hmm. Time?
9:35 p.m.
And where?
In Bayonne, New Jersey.
And what's your question?
I'm about to, you know, make a big move. I'm moving to Costa Rica and starting
how
a
wonderful.
Whole new chapter.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
just want to see what you see before such a big kind of transition.
When are you leaving?
I'm leaving, I'm leaving from where I am to New York in April for a little bit, and then I'm leaving to Brazil first in May.
Life is not boring. So you were born with Venus and Neptune conjunct in Sagittarius, so you have a real love of the ideal of traveling and being an international citizen. You have your moon, sun, and Mercury all in Capricorn, and you can do anything you want to do. This is a very strong chart. You know, Saturn and Jupiter in the first house, people will take you seriously, and you will get things done, and you will make money by helping.
I'm sorry, what year did I give you?
You give me? You gave me 81.
Did I give you 81? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Sorry. I didn't know I had all that in my first house. I'm sorry.
January 5th, 1981. Yeah, you have Jupiter and Saturn in your first house.
Oh,
and
awesome.
They're conjunct. And they, so that tends to be someone who people take seriously, and you can get things done. So it may leave you feeling like you can't always feel spontaneous and fun, woohoo, but you really have the capacity to make things happen. Your progressed moon is moving, just went into Gemini, so you're ready to have two homes and feel like you have two homes and to move and to do things. And it's moving across the top of your chart. So this is the time for you to do your big work. You're ready to travel and ready for the next 2 years, you're up and running on your work. Now, Pluto will be going back and forth. It's already gone over your Mercury once, so it's going to come back twice more. So there will be lonely times this first year, but hang in there. It's almost over. And, you know, whenever you travel, whenever you're far away from home, no matter how many lovely people you meet, it's not as familiar and it's not as secure as where you came from, even if you were happy to be gone. So there will just be some lonely moments, but I wouldn't worry about them. Don't read too much in them. Go like, I am lonely at the moment. Let me jump on Facebook or talk to my friends or Skype somebody I love and hang in here. And then take this energy and go build community.
I was going to say, what do you see the purpose? Or I think you said the work. What do you see the work? I know what I'm moving.
You're here. It looks like social justice issues are written all over your chart, and you're here to help people transform and change. And it could be through the creative process.
That's what I'm doing, shamanism and ayahuasca healing and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, with Pluto square your Mercury and ayahuasca healing, you will be heading into a lot of stuff. One of the things that I would ask you, what I see so many Americans going down and participating in that is they know how to let go of the old stuff. And the whole ayahuasca traditions helped us let go of things that were stuck in the past. And you also have that Venus-Neptune conjunction, which can be, you know, an idealizing those medicines, those herbal medicines. But I would just ask you to notice as a sun and moon and Mercury in Capricorn, that deconstructing isn't enough for you. You want to reconstruct something that you like. So The other side of deconstruction is reconstructing something positive. And
okay.
So always keep an eye on that for yourself and for the work that you're taking out into the world.
Can you elaborate? I want to make sure I understand what I'm picking up, what you're putting down.
You know, if you just weed a patch of land and
mm-hmm.
you don't plant healthy things, what do you have? An
oh,
empty patch
absolutely.
Of land.
You mean, yeah,
if
the
you
care
take
is
down
afterwards
old
everything.
Structures, right.
Right.
If you take down
afterwards.
Old structures that
mm-hmm.
don't work, but you don't build up ones that do work, people
mm-hmm.
always default back to their old structures.
Gotcha.
So there, I see people. I used to live in New Mexico, where a lot of people did a lot of herbal medicines of various different kinds. And I mm-hmm. saw a lot of people deconstruct and just end up in a puddle and never really did anything with themselves. They may not have been stuck in their old problems, but they weren't doing
mm-hmm.
anything.
Understood.
So the other side of that is, what is a healthy psyche?
Mm.
And that's something as a sun, moon, Mercury, and Capricorn, you have a strong sense of, and I think you can really help that.
Oh, that's so smart. That's a really smart, smart idea. The last thing I will ask is actually babies, family, love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you see that on the horizon?
You could certainly, that could be lovely and beautiful for you. My suggestion would be that you wait until Pluto is off that square to your Mercury. That for the next year and a half, it's about the shamanic work and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different energy field. You know, like that's a death and rebirth all the time. When you want to have a baby, it's a different energy field. It's a rebirth.
Mm.
So I'm going to ask you to hold, to consider waiting until the other side of that Pluto, square, in order to feel like you are out the other
Earth.
Side, that you're really ready to be born. You know, like pregnant women or women that could get pregnant do not tend the dead in most indigenous societies. And there's a reason for it. It's a very different energy field. And so you are out of that energy. Pluto will be off your Mercury in by this coming, the end of this coming December. So any time after that might be lovely.
Might a father come in?
That's a different question. And it's, you know, always helpful.
Sorry, you probably assumed.
Right. I thought you might have an option for that. You know, you have the ruler of your seventh house, which is partnership. Babies are fifth house, and that's love affairs and all of this. And I would say it's a little hard for you to – love affairs tend to be a little tricky for you. You're a natural
mm-hmm.
partner, and
mm-hmm.
you're a great friend. But
mm-hmm.
the meeting people in the early stages of romance – are a little tricky for you. You're the ruler of your seventh house. Neptune has just entered your seventh house, and Jupiter, which traditionally rules your seventh house, although conjunct Saturn, which suggests there's a delay in finding a partner, that you don't find
mm-hmm.
one when you're a teenager, but that mm-hmm. you will marry someone who is mature and solid and magical.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to get off now, and I just say that go on your path,
well, you just
keep your
ended
eyes
it with
open.
A bang.
Okay.
And may I say that you are such a badass. Of course you jumped out of a car because of a gun. You Virgo Aries, I love you so much. thank you so much.
You take care. Okay, bye-bye. Now that made my day. So are there any on this point? We have this... a beautiful evening ahead of ourselves. It's my astrological inverse. It's an Aries moon in Virgo tonight. Use that Venus-Uranus conjunction and do what you love. Engage in the beautiful world. Share your creative gifts and just spontaneously show your love. And when the communication gets a little difficult, just let your heart do the talking. Take care, have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.